In many ways, Amanda Nolan was a typical teenager. Her favorite color was pink, she listened to Selena Gomez, and she loved school, especially her math and oceanography classes. But Nolan was also dealing with a heavy issue. She and her family were homeless.
I tried to keep my mind off of where we were, even though it was tough, even though it was right in front of my face.
Economic instability forced the Nolans to move in with relatives, and then they stayed in a series of hotels for more than a year.
I did a lot of things to occupy my mind so I wouldn't fall too deep in depression where I would try to commit suicide. So I wanted to stay from that because I knew I had so much to live for, and I just had hope and faith that things will get better. There were some times where I was like, no, I don't have any faith, I don't want to talk to anybody, just leave me alone. And then there were some days where I mustered up enough strength to get throughout the day.
Crammed into a small space with her parents, sister, a dog, and two turtles, sometimes with little food to eat, Amanda Nolan used school to keep her grounded.
I had to keep my grades up. That was the only thing that I felt that I could take pride in because I didn't have everything else that a normal teenager has.
Despite the stress of her family situation and transferring to 5 different high schools, Amanda Nolan maintained GPAs of 3.8 and above.
I've always loved education. I've used that to drive me. Because if I have an education, then I can get a job. I have my degrees, I can get a job, I can get a house, I can have all that I need and all that I desire because I've accomplished and worked hard so much, then it'll benefit me in the end.
During Nolan's senior year, the family moved into a home with discounted rent. They still grappled to pay the bills, but began discovering resources in the community. One of those was the nonprofit group GRASP, the Great Aspirations Scholarship Program, which helped the Nolans navigate the financial aid system as Amanda applied to John Tyler Community College. At the organization's annual gala last fall, Amanda Nolan was a guest speaker. Before the event, she said she was a bit nervous, but ready to publicly share her experiences with homelessness for the first time.
We've never really told anyone outside of our family or our friends, so it'll be a big thing for me. Usually when I talk about it, I shake a lot because I get flashbacks and I'm kind of, you know, like if you hear something bad, you're like, oh no, but I have to calm myself down, everything's gonna be okay. So yes, this is the first time, but I think it will be okay. We've overcome that, so we're a lot stronger now. My mother and I were first introduced to a GRASP advisor at Clover Hill High School during my senior year there. It came at a time in our lives when we were homeless and living in a hotel. My sophomore, junior, and part of my senior year were very challenging for me economically and socially.
With her family beaming from a front row table, Amanda Nolan took the stage, telling the crowd that the financial support and advising from GRASP played a critical role in her entering college.
I learned to take control of my future by developing a thorough plan to ensure stability and maintain self-confidence. I will be successful. I will continue to prosper in my career because I have an attitude of excellence.
Amanda Nolan is on track to finish her associate's degree in math and secondary education this year, and she plans to transfer to a 4-year college to study psychology. But the future is uncertain for many other youth. At least 18,000 public school students in Virginia are homeless, including 1,000 in Richmond, according to Virginia Department of Education data compiled by Project HOPE at the College of William and Mary. The majority are doubled up with relatives or friends and living in hotels and shelters. Several hundred are unsheltered, defined as living in substandard housing like cars, campgrounds, and abandoned buildings. These young people face greater physical, mental, and emotional health issues and are more likely to miss school and drop out. 2 new initiatives are aiming to change that by empowering homeless youth to develop policy solutions and helping them develop strong networks of community support.
This room is really almost entirely made up of donations.
On the second floor of Richmond's Boulevard United Methodist Church, Change the World RVA director Natalie May walks through the inviting space that welcomes about a dozen homeless youth each week.
So the students come in every Monday. We set up relatively healthy after-school snacks in here, and the kids can just unwind and catch up.
There are shelves of donated books, school supplies, and essentials like comforters and toilet paper. Downstairs is a fully stocked pantry, and a newly decorated classroom is used for group tutoring, peer support, and guest speakers.
We really work hard to help every student get adults and even a peer group, a like-minded peer group, to just be cheerleaders and really encourage them when they hit a rough spot.
Change the World RVA started organically a few years ago when May was asked to mentor a homeless senior preparing to enter college. May says she began to see there was a big need to provide homeless youth with practical help, like preparing for college and transportation to work and school, but also to help them build networks of support.
If you think about all the things that people did for you when you went to college, or if you've put children through college, little bumps in the road, like just moving into the dorm, getting your things physically there, furnishing your dorm. What if you have a bad roommate, fail a midterm, fail two midterms, you can't afford your books, your financial aid doesn't come until October, and what are you going to do for food between now and then? All those little things can derail these students. And so we try to address those needs. Our volunteers take them to college, unpack their their things in their dorm. We get volunteers to donate or take them shopping for their dorms. We help financially when we can. But really, it's just being this community of caring adults that really want these kids to succeed.
May's coordinated dozens of volunteers who provide rides, cook casseroles, and send birthday cards to the students. Some even open up their homes.
And to, have a student live with a family till they graduate from high school or over the breaks, just gives them a real foundation of stability and love. I mean, it really is about love, just showing that we really love you and care about you and want you to succeed and be happy and self-sufficient.
Some of May's students are also helping create solutions to homelessness. They joined a larger team of homeless youth, facilitated by VCU School of Social Work professor Alex Wagaman, on a 6-month-long research project.
The cool thing about that project is that many of the youth kind of identified some really common issues that most of them do not have, either don't have family who will support them, or their family literally cannot support them. They can barely support themselves. And that was a real kind of common link.
Supported by St. Joseph's Villa and Change the World RVA, the participants learned research methods, conducted focus groups with service providers, and interviewed other homeless youth.
The project itself was really about them beginning with defining the problem. We spent lots of time talking about how they wanted to define homelessness and unstable housing, and because they wanted to kind of reject the particularly the federal definition because it didn't include them in many cases. They developed a map of kind of how they saw this issue impacting the community, what the causes were in their opinion, and what changes needed to happen.
After analyzing their data, the team identified 7 recommendations, including redefining homelessness to include youth and their unique experiences, developing transitional housing programs for youth, improving training for service providers, establishing a permanent youth advisory group, increasing access to transportation, and addressing barriers to affordable housing.
One of the huge issues, both with this population and other populations that I work with and do research on, is that they're invisibilized a lot. And so engaging them in defining the issue and setting what the research questions are creates a level of visibility and inclusiveness that we would have completely missed.
Wagaman hopes to secure funding to continue the group's work and present the findings to more stakeholders in the community, including state officials working to end homelessness. Back at the Nolan House, Amanda walks into her room, the bright, comfortable, and private space she dreamed about when her family was living in hotels.
Here's my Instagram, me and my dad.
At her desk, she pulls up her Instagram account, which she uses as a platform to combat bullying and provide encouragement to other youth.
It's called A Reaching Hand. I thought of that name when we were living in the hotel, and I just thought of when you're reaching for something, you're reaching to give, to help.
Despite their hardships, Nolan and the youth working with Professor Wegeman and Change the World RVA want to give back. They recognize their experiences could lead to positive social change.
I'm just ready to move forward and use all of our gifts that we have and use all of our skills that we have to change the world, because so many things, so many people committing suicide, so many people don't have hope. And I feel that what I have, I can share with the world. I can share to the youth generation. I don't know everything, but based on what I've gone through, I can help encourage other people.
For Virginia Currents, this is Catherine Comp, WCVE News.